I'm very thankful to the Lord, as it was said this morning, that I can be here. It's a very rich word and precious word that we have heard so far. In one meeting, we have already heard that we're actually living in an extension of time. And there's not that much more time. We haven't received a long extension, and we have seen that the time is short. And our burden now is, what do we do with this time? How do we deal with the extra time that we've received? And I don't mean what it means for our meetings, but it means what it means for our daily life. Yesterday, we read that blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over this one, the second death has no power. And I thought it was very impressive to see it says blessed and holy. Holy is the one who has a portion in the first resurrection. So it shows us if we want to belong to the first fruits, this attribute, this characteristic of being holy is especially important. To be holy, it doesn't happen from one day to the next. It doesn't mean that, oh, now I've seen something and I'm holy. You know, some people have this picture where they put like this holy crown around somebody. Sanctification is a process. To be made holy requires time. And the Lord gives us this time, this extended time, to perfect the holiness and the sanctification work in us. This is the main reason that we have this, that the Lord would have a people who is holy for him, that a people who uses the time to go on in the sanctification process and to not remain standing still anywhere. And we've also heard that we are messengers. Messengers who are useful for the Lord are messengers who are holy and who pursue holiness. So we have to ask ourselves this question in a concrete way. What are we really doing with our time? Because we're constantly investing our time in something. The word says that we're building something, that the foundation is already laid. And we should take heed how we build on this foundation, if it's gold, silver, or precious stone. So I'm investing my time in building something. And I have to ask the Lord, what am I building with? What am I investing my time in? Is it something that is made with precious stones? Or am I building with wood, hay, and stubble? Because the day of the Lord is coming, burning like an oven. And this day will reveal it. Will reveal what I have done with my time. Then it will become evident whether I sowed unto the flesh or whether I use the time to pursue holiness. Yeah, this day will reveal it. Paul even says that the Lord will even judge the hidden things of the heart. He will judge what's inward. And the Lord will even test our inward motives. And so we have to tell the Lord now, am I investing my time in your kingdom? Is that what I'm really doing? Is the word that we have heard this weekend a word that will focus me to say this coming week is for your kingdom? The time that I have is for the sanctification. Yeah, we have to ask ourselves this question. And if it hasn't affected this in us, I don't know how much we've actually taken with us from this time. Because if you see something that he's revealed to you, if he's really revealed something, it'll have an impact on your life. But if your life continues as it was before and everything remains as it was before, then maybe it was an encouragement, but it wasn't a true revelation. So we have to tell the Lord, this time should not be in vain. I want to start this week to pursue the Lord and to invest my time in the kingdom. I wrote a few verses here on the board. And these verses all talk about how we can use our time. Let's read 1 Corinthians 7, 29 to 31. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. He says the time is short. He said this 2,000 years ago. So if the time was already short at that time, then I say the time is now really short. I think we can really say now that the time is short. And what I realize is that time really flies. Time is not just short. The time is really fleeting, and he doesn't even talk about days anymore. He just goes from quarter to quarter. Time just goes so by so quickly at work that he's thinking about what's going to happen in the next quarter. And it's not my perception. It's also the perception of the people outside, that time is just running away. It flies away because people are so busy. They're so distracted. There's so many distractions nowadays. It is the time of grace now, the age of grace, but it's also the age of distraction. This age is so much characterized by distraction. You can really occupy yourselves with any and everything today. You can spend hours on just small things. Some people will look online for 1 hour to just get a good deal, to save 20 or 30 euros. And this is one whole hour of your life. You invest in pursuing a good deal. The people here in Swabia are known to be frugal. They love to look for good deals. But we have to pursue holiness. We shouldn't just pursue getting a good deal. This is a huge difference. And I tell you, this 1 hour is gone. The 1 hour is just gone. When the day of the Lord comes, which is burning like an hour, this 1 hour will burn. That hour was wood, hay, straw. We have to, and stubble. We have to see this. But if we use this time to pursue holiness, to eat the Lord and his word, and to pray for the kingdom, this is such a contrast and such an investment to pursue holiness. This really makes such a huge difference. Otherwise, you save the 30 euros and then, oh, what do I do with the 30 hours? And then you think, oh, I'm going to use another hour to figure out what I can use the 30 euros for. And at the end, you've used so much time just for that. But the question is, what remains out of all of this? Paul says that this whole world is passing away. There's one verse that I love. There are some things that are, I think in Colossians, there are certain things that are meant to be destroyed. We use this world because we want to live for the Lord, because we have to take care of our bodies. That's why we need these things. But do I need, on top of everything else, this and that? Do I need 3 cars? Do I need 5 bikes? You have to think, the more you have, the more time you need to take care of these things, because you have to take care of them, manage them. You have to repair them. You have to take care of them. You have to, yeah, administer these things. They're not just there. Recently, I told a brother that I wondered how little time I have, because where I come from the Turkey, we lived in a little town, and there we didn't even have running water. My mother had to go to the well to draw water from the well. She had to make fire. She had to boil the water and had to make food with that. You invested so much time in the most basic things. If you wanted to eat a steak, you had to raise the cattle, slaughter the cattle. And tonight, I just go to the, take a steak from the store and put it in the pan. But still, I have no more time. That's strange, huh? We have to take care of so few things, but how come we have so little time for the Lord? That shows that everything is just a distraction. There we have to realize, yeah, something's not right. It can't be that I can't find 1 hour to seek the Lord. That can't be. One sister said to me, it's always a matter of priority. And it's true. It's the question, it's a matter of our heart. And what do I want to invest my time? So let us exercise ourselves this week to invest our time in the Lord and to pay attention to, where am I doing something that's not useful? Where am I wasting my time? Where do I let myself be distracted with? We can really be distracted with our cell phones, our mobile phones. You can spend hours and waste hours on your phone, and there's an element of addiction there. That means you're trapped in it. You're imprisoned. But we should tell the Lord, nothing should capture me except you alone. We should let ourselves be captured by no one and nothing else but the Lord himself. He should be the one what compels us and urges us inwardly should be the coming of the Lord. Lord, am I ready? Lord, has the time been invested wisely? This is what should really move us. And to come into unrest because of other things is not good. The Christian's experience was good. He was free to not react in to react in anger. But if your heart clings to things, you would react differently. If your heart hangs or clings to things, then you will be occupied with it in your mind, and there will be no more time left for the kingdom. So for us, it's very important. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 14 to 17. Amen. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. It says circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Why? Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And this is what we should reach for now. Lord, what is your desire for the short time that we have now? What is the will of the Lord? Where does the Lord want to send me? Where does the Lord want to have me? A brother visited us recently, and he told us how he lives with the Lord and what kind of experiences he had. He doesn't have a lot of knowledge about the word, but he knows the Lord. And he lets his life be tested by the Lord, be examined by the Lord. Is it your will? It was, he had to decide whether to buy a house or not. And outwardly speaking, everything looked like you should buy it. And someone was even willing to lend him money. And actually, outwardly speaking, you can say, oh, it's from the Lord, huh? But then he said, no, I want to seek the Lord and his word. But then he, in Jeremiah, he read a verse that says that we should live in tents. And then the Lord showed him it's not the time to buy the house now. This was his personal experience. And then he says, he said, okay, if you don't want me to buy the house, then my wife and my daughter should confirm it. And indeed, they said, both of them said, no, it's not the time to buy the house. This brother put his the will of God above his own will. That was more important for him. What needs to be done now, and not what do I want? And this is what a messenger of the Lord should be like. Or what is to be done now for you? Where should I speak a word where someone can be encouraged? In my marriage life, the more we are focused on this, the less we are distracted. The less we are captured in earthly things, because you have your focus to serve the Lord. That's why I want to encourage you, because the time is short and the Lord is coming quickly, to invest your time with the Lord and to examine with the Lord, where am I not investing my time in a wise way? Second Timothy 2. Verse 4. No one engaged in warfare, or no one who's engaged as a messenger, entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And here it says entangled. This is really an entanglement. Some, when you're entangled, you're in the middle of it and you don't even know why you're here for the Lord anymore. Yeah, if you're entangled, you lose the goal before your eyes, and this is what the enemy wants to do. If we only take care of earthly things, then the goal is no longer before our eyes, namely to pursue him, to serve him as priests and as messengers. If we lose this goal before our eyes, well, this is what the enemy does. This is what the enemy wants to take away from us. And that's what the entanglement is there for, because then we have to be very watchful and say, I want to have the goal before my eyes and not let myself be entangled, because we are soldiers, priests, and messengers of the Lord. Yeah, we want to please the one who has enlisted us. May the Lord write this on our hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord that he has given us such a word as an ending. So fitting, so important, because at the beginning of the conference, we have seen that we're living in an extended time, and we don't know how long this time will last, but we have to assume that it's going to be very short. And so we also don't know how long we're going to live. And it doesn't matter if we're old or young. Even the young ones among us don't know how much time we have. So it's so good that the Lord would write this on our hearts. What are we going to do with our time? What do we do with our time? And I think many of us can confirm this. What Satan does to do among us to really rob us of our time with much vanity, many occupations that are not necessary. No one who is enlisted as a soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life. It doesn't say with sin. Of course, you can be entangled in sin. And we're not free from that either. But what's very tricky is that they are the affairs of this life, because from the outside, they don't look to be so bad. It's not even a sin. But still, it can entangle the soldier. But what I like about this verse is to see that the soldier doesn't let himself be entangled because he has a vision. He has a very clear consciousness and awareness of what task he has. And we need this as well. The Lord showed me anew what kind of goal and what kind of ministry and task and commission we have. We are priests. We are priests and messengers 24 hours a day. It's not like our earthly work where we go to work in the morning and finish in the evening. No, we are priests all the time, and we are messengers all the time, and that we are also soldiers, and we have a clear goal. Last night, we saw also that we have a clear goal to rule with him for 1,000 years and to receive the reward. And the Lord is so good to us. We don't have that much more time. That means, on the one hand, it's positive because we don't have to wait 50 years. And we just have to endure for a short time. And the reward is 1,000 years. The Lord is so good to us. He just wants you to be faithful a few more years, and he'll give you 1,000 years of a reward. The world is different. You work 6 months, maybe, or some people work 40 years. And then at the end, you just say, thanks, and that's it. That's what the world is. You invest a lot and you get nothing. But with the Lord, you invest not so much. We just have to be faithful over a little. And then he will give us so much. 1,000 years as a reward. Praise the Lord. So let us take this with us this morning. I give you my time. And I don't want to be entangled with the affairs of this life. Yeah, and we have these affairs. It's not about saying that we get rid of all the affairs of our lives. I think most of us have to work, and we have to buy things then and here and there. And in 1 Corinthians 7, it doesn't say don't buy anything anymore, but it says if you buy something, and buy it as if you don't really need it, as if you didn't really possess it. And this is what's so good, regardless of what we need to buy. I had a lot of good experiences recently. I used to research hours long to get a good deal, or to get the best quality, to get the best product. And there's so many tests you can read and reports you can read. And the Lord gave me a heart recently and said, I'll take whatever I get. And then the Lord gives us something that's good and what's sufficient. And then you can say, amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm done in a few minutes. It's so good. And then we buy it as if we didn't really possess it. And then we use it as something that we just need, and not as something that we cling to and that is so important for us. And so through this, we can learn to deal with all the things of this world, that we can deal with it in a wise way, and to invest our time in that which is really important. And this should really direct us. It doesn't mean, oh, I shouldn't do this, this, and that. But we have to have a vision. We have to have a goal. And this is what our time should be invested in. Let us invest our time in Christ, in his kingdom, to be messengers for many people, that many people would be turned away from iniquity. But there's one thing we can always do for God. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with it. Pursue peace and holiness, without which no one can see the Lord. So even if outwardly speaking, there is nothing to do for God, regardless of what there is to do, And if it looks like there's a some gap in your time, free time, pursue peace with all people and holiness. We need this. We need this holiness in body, soul, and spirit. Let us not fill ourselves with all the things in the world, and then the ministry to the Lord is set aside. So everything that we hear, everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we think, let us pursue holiness. Yeah, then this ministry for God is a wonderful task and commission and not a burden. So I really appreciate this. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. And this is so important for us as priests all the time. Praise the Lord. This was a wonderful time of training for the messengers of the Lord of hosts. And let's remain in this training. This was just an intensive weekend course. Now the internship begins, the practical application begins. Hallelujah.